Eric.
Oh man, it has been a while since I've been back up here. And thank you, Ken, for reading the scripture and for your great encouragement. And also thank you so much, Praise Team, for choosing that last song. As I was worshiping and singing, I'm glad that we have such a really good praise team to also look at the text and really be able to pick the appropriate song that captures the message. And so thank you so much, praise team, for that. I really do appreciate it. And so before we begin, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father God, as we continue to worship you and gather in your house, Lord God, I pray that ultimately, yes, you will wake all of us up, Lord. For those who may be falling asleep, both spiritually and quite literally, God, I pray that ultimately we would awaken our hearts and our desires, our intentions, and attention to you, Father God. So God, thank you for who you are, Lord, that you are the God of all creation, that God, you are the one who chose his people, and that you love each and every one of us. And we pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, quick show of hands. Who's awake right now? All right, so far so good. A few people didn't raise their hands. Maybe they're too confused, or maybe they're not awake. So that's okay, though. I chose this passage in Acts 20 because I thought there was a lot of interesting things about this very short story. And if you haven't heard of the story about Eutychus before, there's a lot of things that what people think this passage is about, right? And so a lot of people think that this passage is about the dangers of falling asleep at church, the dangers of falling asleep at church. You know, so the question a lot of pastors or speakers who talk about this passage is, they ask this question, well, do you fall asleep at church? Do you fall asleep at church? There could be a lot of reasons, but there's usually two. There's two main reasons why people usually fall asleep. The first reason is that it's the pastor's fault. So it's the pastor's fault that you fall asleep at church, right? Take a look at what Paul does in Acts chapter 20. We see that Paul talks way too much, way too much. In verse 7, it says that he keeps talking until midnight, way late into the evening. You know, I thought about doing this for a youth lock-in as a way. Maybe they'll stop going to lock-ins if I just preach all the way until midnight, right? And that would be a good way to deter them. But Paul, he's speaking, he's preaching all the way until midnight. In verse 9, he talks on and on and on. And later on, verse 11, he talks until daylight. Literally until the sun rises, and that's when he finally leaves. And that is a really long sermon. You know, I was told that since we have Lord's Supper, to stop at a very specific time. And thankfully, the sun already rose, so you guys don't have to go through all of that. But imagine that if you had to listen to a pastor, you know, late night service all the way until midnight, it's 1 a.m., he's still preaching. It's 3, you're wondering when is he going to get to a second point. It's 4:30 a.m., maybe he's on his fifth point sermon already. You see a bright light creeping up the window, and you're like, what is that? Oh, that's the sun. And Paul is still talking. It wouldn't be hard to imagine that you would fall asleep then, right? And so this passage kind of talks about, and humorously kind of says that the pastor who doesn't really watch what he says will put people to sleep. And that's what a lot of people think this passage is about. But there's also another reason. There's another reason why a lot of people tend to fall asleep at church. And that reason, it's your fault. It's your fault for falling asleep. Yeah, I hate to say it that way, but it could be a heart reason, right? You know, the pastor could be up there for 10 minutes, and by then, people might think, all right, I'm bored. And they just close their eyes. Or I love this. Like, you ever do this? I'm guilty of this. That when it's time to pray, you kind of like think to yourself, oh, nap time. You know, you close your eyes and they're like speaking these words. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're slowly drifting into unconsciousness. You know, I think that's a heart problem, actually, right? You take that as your advantage to quickly get some shut-eye in, to get some rest in. And so we see Eutychus in chapter 20, verse 9. It's completely his fault, probably, that he falls asleep during Paul's sermon. And so those are the two usual main reasons. It's the pastor's fault for talking too much. It's your fault for not caring, for not paying attention. But I'm not quite convinced that these are the only reasons why people fall asleep at church. For me personally, I don't really care if you fall asleep at church. There could be lots of other reasons. You know, maybe it's a long weekend. Maybe you drove for many, many hours just to get a haircut, and then you drove back, and you got tired. Maybe you spent an entire week going to this crazy camp with a bunch of youth, and, you know, it's Sunday, and it's exhausting. You just got back. You know, there could be a lot of reasons. Maybe work has been really, really difficult. Maybe your home life isn't the very best, and you're kind of finding a place to rest. And maybe that's why you fall asleep. So there could be a lot of reasons. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I really care about is if you care if other people fall asleep at church. See, do you care if other people come to church and for whatever reason they fall asleep or they fall away from God and then they die? And there's a responsibility of this church to take care of people who do grow tired, who are in danger of falling away. And this is the story of Eutychus. It's a story about how a church should care for each other. So how do we know it's a church? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And we see this in verse 7 of Acts 20. Right? There's breaking of bread. And the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke, so he's teaching his people. And he kept talking until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. So there's fellowship. And then we see later on that there is also prayer. And so this is a church that has gathered together to worship God, to praise the name of Jesus. But at this church, at this particular church service, it's so crowded, right? It's so packed that a young man named Eutychus also wants to participate and wants to sit down and listen to Paul. And he looks around. He finds there's really no other place to sit. And so he sits by a window. So how can a church care for someone like Eutychus? That's the question. That's what we're going to think about and pray about today. So let's look at Eutychus again very closely in verse 9. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. You know, the first thing that we should notice about Eutychus is what? He's sitting in a window. Sitting in a window. It's so crowded that he has nowhere else to sit but a third-story window. And I wonder, sometimes I wonder if there was literally no seat available. You know, over the past few weeks, I'm kind of surprised that when you tell youth to sit down, they will choose anywhere except a chair. Like, literally, I tell them to sit down, and they want to sit on the edge of a table, they want to sit on some staircase, they want to sit on other people's laps. And I'm like, there's a chair right there. And they're like, no, but this is a chair. It's comfortable. And they'll sit anywhere but a chair for some reason. And I wouldn't be too surprised if there was some sort of seating at a window and youth would choose that area. But the more I think about it, I really don't think that's the case with Eutychus. I think that the church was so crowded, they were so packed up into that room, that everybody wanted to hear what Paul had to say. The story of a guy who used to run around and persecute and kill Christians and had an awesome conversion and encounter with Christ, and now he's proclaiming the name of Jesus. Of course that room will be packed in. Of course people will want to stay late into the night hearing every word he has to say. And of course Eutychus would be interested. But this is where he sat, in a window. And probably all the way in the back as well. You know, when you invite someone to your house, where do you usually sit your guests? Do you, you know, give them a dining room chair? Do you give them a sofa? Maybe put some pillows and rugs on the ground, make them feel comfortable, right? Like, I can't imagine you saying, yeah, just sit right there in that really dangerous spot. Yeah, right there, up there, that's fine. You know, I can't imagine anyone wanting to put anybody in that kind of situation. But that's what the church maybe accidentally, that's what the church, you know, didn't really see coming. They didn't realize that they took up all the space. And for the young people, they just left them in the back. So the first thing the church must care about is where people are, where someone like Eutychus is. Where are they exactly? You know what the first question in the Bible is? Very first question? Well, it appears in Genesis. See, after Adam and Eve have disobeyed God and they realize their disobedience and sin, the first thing they do is what? Try to cover themselves up with leaves, right? And that wasn't good enough. So they hid themselves in some bushes. And then they hear God approaching. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see that the Lord God called to the man and said to him, very first question, where are you? You know, it's not so much of a hide and seek kind of thing. Hey, where are you guys at? You know, for our Lord God who is all knowing, I'm pretty sure he knows exactly where Adam and Eve, where they were hiding. But this question is interesting because it's not asking about their literal location, but their spiritual condition and their relationship to their father, the father they had just disobeyed. This is the very first question asked in the Bible, where are you? And I think that's important spiritually for people to ask each other, hey, where are you in your relationship with God? Are you sitting close to him? Are you nearing closer and closer? Are you trying to get close to him? Or are you forced all the way in the back, so far away, in danger of falling out? That's the question. Care about where they are. Where are these people? You know, I think that's also, in the case of Acts 20, a literal question as well, right? Because Eutychus literally was very far away. He was put in the back. He had no other choice. And if you look around you, maybe there's a lot of people missing. And yeah, it's summer vacation. Maybe people went out of town. Maybe they're on vacation. Sure. What about those who just stopped coming? What about those who just lost interest? Have we ever realized that maybe we're so focused on ourselves and what we're doing? We're so focused on church that we forget that those who aren't really part of the church, they're not cared for, they get forgotten, they get put in the back, and then you look back and say, hey, where these people go? See, a church should be a place where people feel at home at. Nobody sits on a window at home. I'm waiting for any youth to stand up and go, I do. Case in point. Hopefully I didn't cause something and then after this service, people rush to their homes and open up a window and check it out. But nobody sits in a very dangerous position at home. They sit comfortably. They feel welcome. They feel like they belong. In Psalm 27, the psalmist writes, one thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell or live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire, to think in his temple. I know in the past I was really guilty of one thing Friday night, kicking people out so they can go home, right? Don't you all have homes to go to? I do. Go home so I could go home, right? But imagine if church was a place where you could just come right in and just feel really welcome and loved and encouraged. You could sit anywhere you want. You could feel at ease. You can come in and talk with people. You can inquire. You can think. You can pray. You can gaze upon the beauty and the majesty of God our Father in this house. And that's what a church should be. Every day, all the days of our lives. I don't think Eutychus or people like Eutychus want that kind of scenario if the only place they could sit was at a window. I don't think anybody wants to sit in the back feeling like they were forced back there. I don't think they will feel welcome. So, church, do we care about where people are? Let's look at the second thing about poor old Eutychus. See, Eutychus was sinking into a deep sleep. It's not like he just sat there and then he said, boring, and then knocked out. That's not what happened. Like, I imagine that Eutychus is sitting there trying to balance himself, listening to Paul, but it's, you know, it's midnight, it's 1 a.m., it's 2 a.m., and he's just struggling to keep his eyes open. He's just literally, like, doing as many things as he can, looking around, stretching his neck. Maybe he'll just, like, I don't know, slap himself to keep awake. But unfortunately, he was sinking into a deep sleep. You know what I really like about Fuge? Is I want to see which youth take sleep seriously. It's always surprising, right? They just cannot go to sleep at an appropriate hour for some reason. And yet, the next day, when the pastor goes up to bring the word of God, to preach scripture, you know what happens then? You know, the lights are a little bit dim. They slowly sit back in their chair. They tilt their head back. Maybe they're praying. Who knows? And my favorite part about Fuge is the one sitting next to them. Wake up! Wake up! And then they're surprised. Like, what? What? What did I do? But I don't think any youth, I would hope this is not the case, I don't think any youth sits there and says, oh, the pastor's going up. I hope that's not the scenario. I imagine that they're so exhausted from the activities, from late night ramen, from, you know, just walking up and down the hill. And then when the pastor goes up, they're desperately trying to listen. They open their Bibles. They flip through different passages to keep their minds active. They take out pens and scribble, and they do anything they can to fall asleep. I hope that's the case. But inevitably, people do fall asleep when they get exhausted, when they get really tired. Heck, I'm guilty of that. I'm not going to lie. You know, I've seen that at church too. You know, one of my favorite stories is Chinese service. I remember sitting right there. I'm sure you've heard me share the story, but I was sitting right in that area. I look to my right. There's a guy. He's like this, head tilted back on the chair. And pastor, he's preaching. This guy is not moving in his chair. And the pastor says, "Wo mei yichi dao gao," you know, let's all pray together. And then I look over. This guy leans forward and clamps his hand and starts praying. I was like, whoa, praise God. Unconsciously, he's ready to pray him. Wow. You know, but I don't know the story of that guy. You know, maybe he worked really late at night and he made every effort he could to come to church. And I don't know, maybe the pastor just had a really soothing voice and then he just wanted to sleep in the arms of God, right? And so that could happen. But it happens. People do get tired. I realize that. We should realize that. I mean, you know what my most dreaded word is? Meetings. I'll try to think of any other word besides meetings. Hey, you want to hang out? You want to get dinner? You want to talk? You want to get together? But when you call it meetings, I'm like, no. And like every time I looked at my schedule, I was like, oh, I have a meeting every day. Literally, there was one meeting, and then we planned for a meeting after that meeting. And I went to that meeting, and I was like, God, help me. What have I done? It's exhausting, I know. You know, for all of those who put in their time and energy and effort into serving the church, I know it's tiring. It is tiring. But we need to also care about how people are doing. See, how do you even know if people are tired? And I think this is the problem a lot of us face. We ask them, hey, how's it going? Good. In the back of my mind, I'm so tired. But we don't say that. Why? Why can't we be honest and open to each other? Why can't we ask people literally, hey, really, for real, how are you doing right now? How can we encourage those who are growing tired, who are sinking into a deep sleep, who are so exhausted that we see it coming? I think our church really needs to improve on encouraging one another. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul writes to the church, he writes, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith, especially to those who participate in the church. You know, I don't think Eutychus was doing anything wrong. You know, mad props to a young man to stay up that late to listen to a pastor. Shame on the rest of the youth who can't even stay up for 20 more minutes. So, no, seriously, this young man was doing good. He made every effort to also participate in the church. And our church put him back there. And he was not cared for. Nobody cared where he was. Nobody cared how he was doing. They were so focused on their own thing, they forgot that there was literally a guy right behind them falling asleep. So encourage one another. Don't give up, but really care about how they're doing right now. You know, I sometimes want to call out the staff as well, you know. I've seen a lot of times when we ask so much of our own members, and we look at retreats, not as retreats, but just another place to do more work somewhere else. You know, that's a problem. I'll admit, that's a problem. There needs to be times of rest. Hey, even God rested. Think about that. After he created everything, I think he did a lot of good things. Even God rested. People do get tired. It's natural, it's normal. But we need to care about how they're doing at all times. So the last thing that happens to Eutychus is that he fell down to the ground and died. I like this point a lot because I've heard some pastors, you know, kind of use this point to emphasize don't fall asleep at church because you're going to die. If you're asleep, you're going to die. No, we see how Eutychus, he was put back there. Nobody cared for him. He got more and more tired. And as a result, whoop, out the window he goes. And when an unconscious body is falling three stories from the air, he died. This is the inevitable end that all of us will face. Even if we've been wide awake, even if we've been paying attention, even if we've been doing everything we can, everybody dies. Everybody falls asleep and dies. Maybe some are more dramatic. Maybe some are more passive. But everyone dies. And we, as a church, need to care about what will happen to people. What happened to Eutychus? Well, he fell down and died. But what will happen to the rest of us? What will happen to the people you care about who are at church and who aren't at church, who are tired and are not so tired? They're doing fine. What's going to happen to everyone? That's the question, right? That's the big point. And that's what we need to open our eyes to. In Psalm chapter 13, the psalmist writes, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the what? The sleep of death. You see, if we don't wake up, if we don't seek out God, the only kind of sleep we'll have is death. that results to death. Falling asleep in the Bible is pretty much synonymous to dying. You realize that? And Lazarus fell asleep. Jesus wept. When the centurion's daughter fell asleep, she died. When people fall asleep, they die. And in Daniel chapter 12, he writes, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You know, this is the hope that we can have in Christ. See, even though when people fall asleep, there is a hope that they will wake up to life eternal with God the Father in heaven. And that is only through the power of Jesus and nothing else. There's no other way. There's no other possibility. Eutychus cannot fall down to the ground and die and then think to himself, wow, this is not where I want to be, and wake up. He cannot do that on his own. Even Lazarus, who died, and his sisters wept for him, and Jesus wept for him, he did not think to himself, you know what, I think that's enough crying, and I'll wake up now. Only Jesus brought him back to life. And only Jesus died on the cross and paid for the penalty of our sin. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he rose himself from the grave. Only Jesus can do that. And that's who we put our hope and faith in. And that's what we hope for when we finally fall asleep and die. When Jesus comes back, we will awake again to everlasting life. But as Daniel writes, some will not believe that. Some of them will have everlasting contempt. Eternal separation from God. Hell. That is what will happen to a lot of people who fall asleep and don't hear the good news, who don't hear the gospel. You see, church, we can be so busy and forget about those in the back, forget about those who are falling asleep, forget about those who die, but we can't ignore the fact that this is what will happen to them. We just can't. You know, when we have a charge to go and share the gospel, it's not because it's just a thing to do as a Christian. Check, I share the gospel today. Good job. Check, I did this as my obligation and responsibility as a churchgoer. No, it's because we care about where they're going to end up. We care that they will be eternally separate from a holy Father who loves them. So if you care about people you love, your family, your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your sons and daughters, your brothers or sisters, your husband, your wife, if you care about those people and they are not in a relationship with God the Father, this is where they will end up when they fall asleep and die. Eternal, everlasting shame and contempt and separation from a holy God. That is their destiny. And that's why we need to wake up. You need to wake up and realize that. I like the story in Acts 20 because it has a good ending. The last two verses, verse 10 and 12, see, Paul, by the grace of God, he finally stops talking. And he realizes Eutychus has fell out the window. And he goes down those steps. And he threw himself on the ground and put his arms and hugged this young man. And he tells everyone, don't be alarmed. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. And the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. In the ESV, they say something like, they were not a little comforted. That means they were even more comforted. See, the people were so happy. They messed up so much. But God still took care of them. God is still good. there was still one person there who made sure that they woke up and they were alive, and all the people rejoiced. Amen? Amen. So when one person comes back to the Father, we should all be greatly comforted as well. But really, it might just take you to be that person to go downstairs and check on that person and pray with them and encourage them and bring them back. Bring them back to church or bring them back to God. In Romans chapter 13, just as a final encouragement, Paul writes, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we live in really dark times right now. We live in a world where school shootings happen on an unnatural basis. We live in a world where refugees who seek sanctuary in our country are denied. Where there is supposed to be hope and freedom and opportunity, and they can't even have that chance. We live in a country where compromises happen to our morals, where there is no right or wrong. It's all about whatever you perceive to be true. We live in that kind of messed up society. We live in really dark times right now. But with every long night, there is the sun. The sun will rise again. There is the day at hand, and Jesus will come back. So cast off those things of darkness. Don't participate in the dark times of this world, but instead put on the light of God. Be the light to the world instead. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Awake. Wake up. So, are you awake yet? Let's pray. Father God, as we conclude our time to study your word in Acts chapter 20. Lord, I pray for all of us that we would awaken, that we would wake up and see those who are struggling, the Eutychus who we accidentally cast aside, the young people who are growing tired of church, the adults who are falling asleep, the children who grow bored. Lord, I pray that our church would care about them, that we would care about where they are, how they're doing, Lord, and what will happen to each and every one of them. God, I pray for all the families and friends who are not here with us, because maybe they do feel so distant and set apart and far away from you, and they feel like they can't come to your house, Father God. I pray that we would wake up and bring them back, Lord, that you would charge us to go out and to share and be the light of the world. God, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would shine brightly in this age of darkness, Father God, that when people are falling asleep because it's so dark and it's so easy, God, your light will shine so brightly that they will have no choice but to open their eyes and see your glory, Father God. So God, we pray for these things, that you would first wake us up. That you would wake us up. And that we can go out and bring a great awakening to others. And we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.